Go to Psalm 21. We'll read the whole psalm here this morning, because hopefully maybe we'll get through it. I'm not sure, but we'll try. Verse 1, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest to him even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he will not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies, and thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shall thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device, which they were not able to perform. Therefore shall thou make them turn their back when thou shalt have made ready thine arrows upon the strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so we will sing and praise thy power. We've looked for weeks here at the delight of the king, and then the second part of this chapter I've entitled The Defending of the King. As we move on to the second half, we see it speaks of defending the king, or defending David the king, here and how the Lord defended him. If we are to make a spiritual application here, we will see that the defending is not limited to David, but it comes to all those that are redeemed. You and I can have the same defense from the Lord against our enemies as David did. You say, well, what? David was a king, and David was a mighty warrior, and he needed that defending. You and I need that defending too, against the devil, the wiles of the devil, the things that come up in life that are our enemy and that we need defending with. We have the same ability to have that defending as David did. It's not limited to him. God cares about his children, and he will defend them. We're in Psalms. Turn back to chapter 5. We've got just a couple here verses about defending that I want to bring out. And we'll look at a couple of them here in Psalms. And Psalm and chapter 5. Pages are sticking together here. Chapter 5 and verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Psalm chapter 7 and verse 10. 7 and 10. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. Psalm 20 gets us back close to where we were. Psalm 20. And verses 1 and 2, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. The Lord will defend his people, and he will defend you and I when it comes to us needing a defense. He is our defense. We can't do this on our own, folks. We must have someone who can defend us, and we must put our faith and trust in the Lord. For those that think we can stand up and defend ourselves all the time in our own strength, you'll find out quickly that your own strength doesn't go very far. and that we need the Lord's strength. It said there in chapter 20 and verse 1 and 2, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Certainly we've had days of trouble in the past. We've had them recently, and we have them, you know, we will have them in the future from time to time. But the God of Jacob defend thee. And it says here in verse 2, send thee help from the sanctuary. Folks, if we're going to get any help, we're going to get it right here. Yeah. We're going to get it from the house of God, from the sanctuary, so to speak. And we're going to, that's where we're going to get our help. Yes, we can get our help at home in our daily devotions and Bible study and things like that. And we do get help from that. I hope that you have a time that you set aside to be with the Lord and study His Word, look at His Word on a daily basis. And I hope that you get help from it. I get help from it. I spend time in study and prayer for Sunday school, and the Lord helps me. And when He helps me, I try to pass it along to you and how He helps me as well. And I know Pastor does as well. But the core thing for us getting strength and help in time of need is right here. Yes, it's right here. It comes from the preaching and teaching of the Word of God to us, and us being submissive to the Lord, coming in here and having a clean heart. That's of utmost importance as well. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Folks, our hearts need to be clean. We can't harbor things and keep things forever and think that the Lord is going to bless us and help us. We need to have a clean heart and a clean, our minds need to be clean and clear so that the Lord can, His Spirit can move, because He doesn't move in us when we are not right with Him. And you just have to face it, folks. We're either right with Him or we're not right with Him. And we all face it. If you ever are in a position where you've got to stand here, it comes home real quick. I mean, pretty much every Sunday morning now, I pray throughout the week, and I pray especially at home on Sunday morning, but I pray back here on Sunday mornings when the men gather, and one of my prayers right there is as close as we're going to get to here, is, Lord, forgive me. If there's something in my heart, forgive me and cleanse me so that you can speak through me this morning. Because I don't want to get up here and have something in my heart that would hinder God's word from moving through us. Now, however, I will tell you this, that the Bible says God's word will not return void. So sometimes when you don't understand, well, how did that happen? How did this happen? How did that happen with this person? And how did so-and-so do this or that, but yet still speak from God's word? It was God's word. God's word is the one that does the work. So God will defend us, and He defended David. There's five things I want to look at, hopefully here this morning, if we can move through them, about the defending of the king. And the first one is that there's... found in verse 7 of chapter 21. That says, for the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. It says here, the king trusteth in the Lord. There's, number one, there's a confidence in the defending. God does not defend those who do not trust or believe in Him. We're right there in just turn over page, Psalm 23. There's a verse here that came to my mind as I was studying this and thinking about the confidence that David had that God would defend him, because he said, the king trusteth in the Lord. Psalm 23 is a very familiar psalm to us all. But in verse 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David here in Psalm 23, he had confidence that yea, though he walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't know, you know, that there's none of us have been there yet. Oh, we hold on to that psalm. Brother Hartzer, I don't know how many times you've heard a man preach from Psalm 23 being in the business that you're in. And it is comforting in that time when someone passes. But yet, it's not all about that. David said here that I'm gonna walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And when I walk, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He had confidence that he was going to be defended and going to be protected. He had confidence in the Lord. We are to trust God in the good times and in the bad times, amen, folks. There's no reason that our trust cannot be as strong as David's.
Amen.
Again, we make the excuse, well, that was David. Why was David any different than us? Tracy, David's no different than you. You're no different than David. Me as well. Each one of us, we can name everybody in here. We're no different than David. David had confidence in the Lord, and he had trust, and we can have that same trust that David had. The second thing we want to see is there's compassion in the defending. It says here back in 21 and verse 7 as well, it says, the king trusted in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Deliverance comes with divine mercy. David was being defended, and he knew that he would be delivered from the enemy because he had that confidence in him. You and I can have this confidence as well, where he says, through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. You and I shouldn't be moved when things come our way if we trust in the Lord and allow him to defend us. Folks, there's hard things that come our way sometimes, and the winds and the seas crash around us sometimes, but we shouldn't be moved. We should hold on to the Lord and trust in him and not be moved. The third thing we see here is the cognizance in the defending. We see that in verse 8. It says, thine hand shall find out all thine enemies, thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. David recognized here the hand of God. He didn't say, I'm going to find out who's my enemy. I'm going to search them out. I'm going to take care of this. He said, thine hand, he's talking about the Lord, thine hand shall find out all thy enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thy right hand is associated with strength. Whether it's the right hand or the left hand with the Lord, it's associated with strength as well. But yet here we see David recognizing that. Evil cannot keep itself hidden and concealed from God. It cannot. God will take care of it, especially if it comes to dealing with his people and defending his people. If there's evil, God's going to take care of it. He's going to bring it out. He's going to take care of it. The enemy may be clever, but God is much more clever in his dealings and how that he defends us. The fourth thing is the conquering in the defending. In the conquering here, I see I've got four things to break down out of that. That's in verses 9 through 12, where it says, thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device which they were not able to perform. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon the strings against the face of them. Four things quickly here about the conquering we see. The first one is that there's fire in the conquering in verse 9. What's he say here? Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. God doesn't mess around when it comes to evil, folks.
Amen.
He doesn't. And he takes care of evil, and he will win. I know in this world that we live in today, it seems like evil prevails all around us. But folks, there's coming a day when God will take care of it all. And he takes care of it, some of it now. We have no idea what he takes care of for us. The evil that will come our way and things sometimes we don't even know about it, and God takes care of it. I know there's things as a father that I see. God gives me the foreknowledge to see and know and the wisdom to know that my children, you know, this is going to happen or that's going to happen. And I steer them this way or that way. And, you know, you could go all the way back to a little toddler or a little baby. When the baby's first born, what do? We hold them. And, you know, when mama finally says that somebody else can hold them, when she lets go of that, and dad gets to hold them a little bit, maybe brothers and sisters, whatever. But as we, what do? Do we go, whew? No, we don't do that. As parents, we carefully place them somewhere. Why? Because we're protecting them. And we're protecting them from evil. And God is serious about evil, folks. He will protect his children. He's defending David here. There's conquering in his defending. There's a fire in that conquering. The fiery judgment upon the wicked is the same message that's given in the gospel.
Yes.
For you and I, that we might know the Lord as our Savior. There's judgment. Part of the gospel is the fact that there's judgment coming. Mm-hmm. You can't preach the gospel without rendering the fact that there's judgment coming. People would never see their need of being saved without knowing that there's judgment coming. I remember way back 40 couple years ago when I heard the gospel and I knew I was headed the wrong way. And God began to speak to my heart and deal with my heart. And yes, he dealt with my heart about sin. He did. And he dealt with my heart in a way that I realized that everything that I had done up to that point, being sprinkled as a baby, growing up in a Christian family, going to Sunday school, going to church some, trying to do right, trying to keep that balance, you know. We all think about that balance, do right, do wrong, trying to do all those things. God spoke to my heart and he said, that's nothing. That's nothing. But also part of that was the fact, part of that conviction that came upon me was the fact that judgment was coming. Judgment was coming for those things. They were wrong. I was trusting in them and not trusting in Christ. But also mixed in there was the fact that if I died in the condition I was in, I was going to hell.
That's right. Yeah.
There was no reason for me to go to heaven because I didn't have a Savior. I hadn't trusted in him. But that fiery judgment I was faced with, and that was part of the conviction that God brought upon me as I stood there several times during invitations and gripped the back of that pew till I thought I would leave marks in it. And the fact that God was convicting me of my sin, but yet the judgment to come. God will convict, and he's serious about evil. There's a fire in the conquering we see, and then in verse 10 there's fatalities in the conquering. He said, their fruit shall thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. Again, God is serious about evil, folks. He doesn't play around. Sometimes today, I think in this age we live in, we just dabble around sometimes with evil because we think something's not quite so bad. We hear something and, you know, something will just kind of go with us. You can, you know, this world can't do anything without music. It's everywhere you go. You can't be on hold without music. You can't go to Walmart without music. You can't go to Burger King without music. You can't go into a gas station that there isn't music playing. And 99.9% of it is bad. But we get accustomed to it sometimes. And we'll catch ourselves just... I've caught myself. I'll just be blatantly honest with you. I've caught myself, and next thing you know, you're kind of singing along with it. And we don't think about it at first. But, folks, that's evil. It's wrong.
Amen.
And if you follow through with some of that and the artist, if you want to call them, or the singer, whatever... If you look into their life a little bit, you know, it's. I grew up with the country music, okay? I've said that here before, and that's kind of, it's always been kind of a weakness for me. I've asked for God for victory, and he's many times given me victory over that, but, well, all you got to do is something old come on, and it brings back the memories, and you think about it. But... if you look into some of that, you know, I don't really know about the rock and roll music, okay? So if that's your past, God give you victory over it. I hope he does. I never really dabbled in that before I got saved much. But what I'm saying, like, if you look into some of their lives, in country music, they can sing about the honky-tonks and drinking alcohol, and they can sing about how great thou art, how great thou art. I seen it growing up. My parents would watch shows in the evening, and at the end of the show, what'd they have, preacher? They had a gospel song. What was that? Was that paying for all the honky-tonk stuff they just sung about? I don't know how I got on. But hey, I'm just telling you. Hey, if your bells ring, your phone's ringing, answer it, folks. We can't live in that. If we're godly, saved Christian people, it's evil, and you got to look at it that way. You know, we can think of much evil. We're talking about a lot of evil here today, and how God defends us against it. But what do we do in our lives? Where do we go? What do we listen to? What do we see? What's before our face? Where do we go? It's been a long time since there's been some good hard preaching here about things.
Yes, sir.
And I'm looking forward to some things being preached on in the future.
Amen.
Think about it. You know it was missing, and I know it was missing. I was told years ago when I took this class, I said, something you want me to do, something you don't want me to do. Tell me, because I don't want to be called on the board about it. He said, don't preach against standards and don't preach against money. Giving. I see the puzzled looks. I've been doing this for several years, folks. Mm-hmm. We need some preaching on sin.
Amen.
I need some. There's fatalities in verse 10 in the conquering. Their fruit shall thou destroy. When God destroys the enemy, they will be destroyed. or they will be completely extinguished from this life. In verse 11, there's frustrations in the conquering. Verse 11 here, "For they intended evil against thee, they imagined a mischievous device which they were not able to perform." The enemy was frustrated because they could not perform what they wanted to do. In other words, God put a stop to what they were doing. Amen. "They intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device which they are not able to perform." Verse 12, there's a flight in the conquering. To say here in verse 12, "Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon the strings against the face of them." Enemy turned their tail and fled when they saw the king putting the arrows in his bow. God can put fear in our enemies, and he will. And he puts the fear in them that they turn tail and run. He defends us, folks. He is defending us. The last thing I want to see, point number five, in the defending of the king here, we'll wrap this up this morning, is found in verse 13, and that's the convention of the defending here. The last verse of the chapter gives much praise to God for how he defended the king. This psalm began with praise and it ends with praise. Many times as we studied through the psalms, that I say sometimes they'll start with a problem and end with praise, or they'll start with praise and end with a problem, but vice versa. Sometimes this one, it's a bookend on both ends. Praise is a bookend on both ends of this. The first verse said, "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice." And then in verse 13, "Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so we will sing and praise thy power." There are just three quick things here in this verse I want you to see. It says, "Be thou exalted, Lord." Be thou exalted, Lord. David commends the Lord here by exalting him. If you and I realize how he defends us and how he protects us, we should exalt him as well. We should exalt him, lift him up high. He is the one who can deliver us, who can defend us. He's the one to start out with that saved us. If you've trusted the Lord as your Savior, I trust that you have. I'm looking at faces here, and I'm not questioning anybody, but I just trust that you have. If you've trusted the Lord as your Savior, he will defend you, and we should exalt him for all the victories that he gives us. Oh yeah, we might not get all the victories we want, but when it comes to the enemy, folks, God will give us the victory.
Yes, indeed.
He will. He does not want his children to suffer. No more than I want any of my children to suffer, and you that are fathers, parents, want your children to suffer. Nobody wants to see their children suffer. Nobody in their right mind wants to see their children suffer. And God doesn't want us to suffer either. He doesn't want us to suffer. He will defend us. And we should exalt him for the victories that he gives us in our lives. Also here in verse 13, it says, "In thine own strength." David notes that the victory is his because of God's power and not his own. God gave him the victory, and David recognized that. You and I can be as strong as God allows us to be, but you know what I found out over the years? I'm only so strong. I can only do so much. I've been in many places where I was to my wit's end, so to speak, strength-wise, knowledge-wise, all of it. Didn't know what to go, where to go, what to do, other than to trust God for my defense, to get me through it. You and I need to be like David here and recognize that our victories come from his own strength. It says, in thine own strength, David, be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. He's not saying, Lord, I'm a powerful king. I'm getting her done. I'm knocking out the enemies. And yeah, he was, but he knew each time the fact that his victories came from God. I can only imagine. I wish that somehow or another in maybe an eternity future, I don't know, but I just like to see, like, press rewind back to David and the battles that he faced and say, and just sit there and just watch it a little bit. You know, some of us, maybe you have been, maybe not. I'm not promoting it, but we've been to see some of the sight and sound things over the years, and I don't get all your doctrine there by any means. But it's interesting, and just like everything else, it's getting more liberal each time. But to see somebody play act those things out, it's interesting to see that. But I'd love to see how David got through these things, and we may never see that. All we may ever see is right here on the pages of the Word of God. But like Pastor says many times, it's a picture book. The pictures are right here. You just got to see them. You got to see that things such as this, be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. See David saying this to God, praying this to God. Lord, you're the one. You're the one that gives the strength. You're the one that can help us. The last thing I want to see here in this verse, it says, so we will sing and praise thy power. Friends, victory prompts praise.
Yes, sir.
When God gives you the victory, don't you want to praise him?
Amen.
I mean, we should want to praise him. We shouldn't just sit around, like my dad used to say, sit around like a bump on a log. We should just praise him. Yes. He's been good to us, folks. He's helped us. He's helped us in recent days. He's helped us in the past, and he will help us in the future. God has something for us here. We just have to hold on to him and trust him. This place hasn't stood here for nearly 50 years because God didn't have his hand on it.
That's right. Amen.
He does. It's not the building, but his church, the people here, we are his people. And he has something for us. And he has something as we move forward past the trials and tribulations that we go through. There's much that he has in store for us, but let us never, ever forget to give him the praise for the victories that he's given us. When we open our mouths, whether it's speaking or singing, we should bring forth praise for great deliverance from our enemies. God delivers. He delivered David here. He gave him the victory. We've been all the way through this psalm, and we've seen how that God delivered him, and we see that he praises God. He says, so we will sing and praise thy power. Let us never forget to sing and praise his power. Folks, when Brother Andrew stands here and leads the music, it's not just another part of the service, folks.
That's right.
So many times we get in that rut that it's, you know, one, two, three, maybe four songs, whatever. We just get in a rut. We're creatures of habit, so to speak. Think about it. And I get caught up in it too, folks. I do. I'm no different than you. But as we're singing to the Lord, think about what you're singing and praise Him. After years and years, there's hardly a song that's sung here that I'd have to pick up the songbook for. And many times I don't. You may see me standing there. Usually Mason's kind of entertained me in some form or fashion, and I'm trying to help him. So I don't usually pick up the songbook because it's kind of a thing. I don't know how this works, but if I have my Bible in my lap or I have the songbook in my hand, he needs attention. And that's just him. He's not doing it on purpose, but it just seems like it always happens. Many times sitting here during the preaching, I'm looking at my wife's Bible because I don't want to get caught off guard and drop my Bible and rip the pages or whatever or mess it up. But what am I saying? It's repetition many times. I know the songs. We all know the songs, but it's repetition. Let's think about what we're singing and exalt the Lord because of His own strength and sing and praise His power. Give you one last verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 2 verses 57 and 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord.